Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to Quran 30 for 30. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm joined here by our beloved Sheikh Abdullah Aduro, as always, and Ustada Yusra Qandil, alhamdulillah, who is going to be joining us today. Before we get started, inshallah ta'ala, just a reminder that as we are getting into the last 10 nights, to please, inshallah ta'ala, make sure that you sign up for the last 10 nights webathon. Make sure that you also sign up for a donation, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We ask you to support the work at Yaqeen, inshallah ta'ala, as you're supporting other great causes, especially the causes in relation to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, this year in particular. And as always, inshallah ta'ala, we have the question from the juz before. So we are in juz 19 today. So from last juz, let's see if you all can answer this question, inshallah ta'ala, quickly. Sheikh Abdullah, you're not allowed answer. Okay. All right, bismillah. Why was Surah An-Nur given this name? So go ahead and inshallah plug your answer. Why was Surah An-Nur given this name? So inshallah ta'ala, with that, we're in Juz 19. Ustada Yusra, first of all, we want to welcome you to the show. How's everything?
Alhamdulillah. Jazakum Allah khairan for having me. An honor and a pleasure. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. So it's your second time around. Alhamdulillah. Yes. So we're honored to have you in person this time.
Honor is mine.
And
thank you.
Really appreciate the spirit of your da'wah, mashallah, and the way that you are resonating with many, many young people. Alhamdulillah. Especially many young girls. Alhamdulillah. And especially your response to Piers Morgan. We called it Ar-Rad al-Morganiyya, right? the response to Piers Morgan in regards to the hijab, I think it was deeply profound, mashallah ta'ala, coming from you. May Allah reward you. What made you decide to do that?
Well, it took me 2 days. I would go to bed and it's just like an answer in my head. I'm like, I need to respond and say something to this man. And after 2 days, I'm like, that's it. I'm like, you know, as an adult, alhamdulillah, Rabb, we're more grounded in our faith, but I'm thinking of my daughters and my friends' daughters, all the girls, for them to hear this, someone had to say something, you know. They needed that reaffirmation that this is not why we wear hijab. This is not why we cover. You know, it's really a symbol of liberating yourself from everything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it had to be done. Alhamdulillah.
May Allah reward you for doing it. Sheikh Abdullah, how are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Back here for the 19th time.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu feekum. So inshallah ta'ala, with episode 19, it actually fits, by the way, the response that you did. We talked in Juz 18 about Surah Al-Mu'minun, the qualities of the believers, why they do what they do, the intention that they have, and the way that they keep themselves grounded in that which is sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they manifest the most beautiful of qualities. Now in Juz 19, the beauty of the qualities of the true believers comes out. So obviously in the end of Surah Al-Furqan, we have once again Ibadur Rahman, the qualities of the servants of the Most Merciful. And then we have these two surahs, Surah Al-Shu'ara and Surah Al-Naml. And these two surahs give us these glimpses into the lives of the prophets. But as we've said in previous seasons, it's actually interesting because Surah Al-Shu'ara, you have prophets that are dealing with tyrants and disobedient followers. And then in Surah An-Naml, you have the story of the success of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam. So in Surah Al-Shu'ara, it's Musa alayhi salam dealing with Fir'aun and dealing with Bani Israel. And then you go on to Surah An-Naml and you have Sulaiman alayhi salam that is obviously, you know, leading the way. And it shows you the potential when a prophet has what they need in terms of the ni'mah that's been bestowed upon them with that ikhlas, with the right tools and supports around them, and what they're able to do on this earth. Now, obviously, in just like with everything else, when Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about good, He always talks about bad. When He talks about righteousness, He talks about wickedness. When He talks about Jannah, He talks about an-nar, paradise, He talks about the fire. We also see the opposite qualities, right, of the believers. We see the opposite qualities of the prophets. The prophets manifest those qualities as individuals in the most beautiful of ways. Their nations manifest those qualities collectively, the opposite of those qualities, in the worst of ways. And the verse that I'm just going to talk about really quickly today is verse 22 of Surah Al-Shu'ara. وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Musa alayhi salam says to Fir'aun, when Fir'aun boasts about helping Musa alayhi salam, right? Boasts about making things easy for Musa alayhi salam. Didn't I take you in? Didn't I take care of you? And he's saying, how can you remind me about this ni'mah, about this supposed blessing, when you enslaved the children of Bani Israel in the first place, right? We wouldn't have been in a situation of even needing your handout had you not enslaved Bani Israel in the first place. And subhanAllah, how relevant is this today to the colonial nation of Israel and what it does to the people of Palestine and the people of Gaza? And then comes back and says, we take care of the Palestinians, right? We've given them a diet, a restricted diet, and look at the way that they live, and look at the rights that we give them, and you know the corridors that we are making for them, and you know boast about humanitarian aid. In fact, even when the United States, when Anthony Blinken, I think it was he who said that we give more aid to the Palestinians than anyone else, but you also fund more bombs on the Palestinians than anyone else. So it's actually very relevant to the situation that we see today. But there are two things just quickly to think about. Number one, the opposite of the quality of the believers that are لِلزَّكَاتِ فَاعِلُونَ. They spend for the sake of Allah in a way that's blessed, in a way that's beautiful, and it's sincere. And when you give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you give from a place of seeking to please Allah, and you're not seeking anything from anyone else. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says the opposite of this in Surah Al-Baqarah, لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Allah says, O believers, do not nullify your charity by boasting, which is exactly what Fir'aun is doing, right? Reminding the person that you supposedly gave charity to of your charity, and adha, which is harming them. So Fir'aun is literally doing these two things, which is boasting about his charity and then harming the one that he supposedly gave charity to. So this is a quality of Fir'aun as opposed to the believer who gives from a place of humility because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him, and who gives without mentioning to the person that they gave to, because they know two things. Number one, that Allah Azza wa Jalla simply chose them as a vehicle to care for that person. Number two, that one of the reasons why poverty and disparity exists is actually because of our negligence in the first place. And this is really true, subhanAllah, again, when you think of the global situation today. It is the sin of our negligence that leads us to be in a situation where people otherwise need, or you know, they need us to supposedly step forward. So maybe we didn't put Bani Israel in slavery the way that Fir'aun did, but certainly we neglect people, and that puts them in a bad situation. And obviously, you know, we can't then come in and act like heroes and saviors, like they do at the borders and different countries, and say, oh, you know, we took care of the refugees after making them refugees in the first place. So our sincerity, we give for the sake of Allah. We don't remind people that we give to, because we're not seeking their approval, and we're not seeking to inflate ourselves in the process. So, Sheikh Abdullah, what ayah would you like to reflect on today?
No, definitely, mashallah. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam wa rasulullah wa alayhi wa sahbihi man wala ma ba'd. And that was a beautiful point, Sheikh Rahman, mashallah, and kind of giving me the baton. Reminds me of the verse in Surah Al-Insan, where the Prophet would say, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. That really, we don't want any reward from you, nor thanks. And Musa alayhi salam was definitely an exemplification of that. And we see in the verses in chapter Shu'ara, verses 50 and 51, chapter 26, the chapter of Shu'ara, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about what took place with the magicians, Musa and Fir'aun, where Musa alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to approach Fir'aun. And then Fir'aun gathered up the magicians in his area and said that they will be from the close ones that are among him if they challenge this man, Musa alayhi salam. So what happened was the magicians, as we know, they brought their staffs and their rods, and then يُخَيِّلُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ سِحْرِهِمْ أَنْهَا تَسْعَى, that it looked like it was serpents and scorpions, as some scholars would mention, that would look as though it is something that is threatening. But then Musa alayhi salam, with his staff, Allah told him to throw his staff as well. And when he threw his staff, it devoured all of what they presented. And at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a certain verb here, and it's very, very beautiful, where he says, فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحَرَةُ سُجَّدًا. The magicians were thrown or fell in prostration. What's beautiful about this is that Allah said, أُلْقِيَ, that أُلْقِيَ literally means to throw. It is as though they fell in prostration because they knew that this was not magic. They knew that it was something much greater. Allahu Akbar. When they saw this, they said that we believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. We believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. What happened after this is that Fir'aun, when he saw this, he threatened them. He said, are you going to do this and I have not given you permission? Then he threatened that he would crucify them. Not only crucify them, but he would crucify them and he would cut off one side of the right hand and then cut off the left foot, opposite sides of each limb, to show that he is going to punish them. And scholars mention this in depth and talk about the reasoning behind this. But when looking at this, what I want to capitalize on is after the magicians, they fell in prostration. When they fell in prostration, what was their first statement after Fir'aun threatened them? When Fir'aun said that I'm going to crucify you and you will be of those that are crucified, what did the magicians say? قَالُوا لَا ضَيْرَ لَنَا إِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ. This is so beautiful. Because when they said that there is no harm upon us, and some translations say that we don't care, it literally says, we don't care, because ضَيْرَ comes from ضَرَر, and ضَرَر means harm. So what they literally did is they negated the presence of any harm. Notice, after the threat. So the threat didn't increase them illa imanan wa tasliman. The threat that came to them didn't increase them. It only increased them in their faith and submission to Allah. And what's beautiful here is that submission was a means for that. After they submitted, Fir'aun tested them and said, I'm going to take your life. They said, we don't care. For verily, we are going back to our Lord. Munqalibun. And after that, scholars mentioned the way that they explain this is when they say, after that, they say, إِنَّا نَطُمَعَ أَن يَغْفِرْ لَنَا رَبُّنَا خَطَايَانَا. That verily, surely, we hope that our Lord will forgive us for our sins, for we are the first ones to believe. إِن كُنَّا أَوَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That verily, we ask Allah. نَطُمَعُ. You will see that in some translations that we expect, but I like the translation of hope, because طمع is a type of hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're not sure, but you have this total raja and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will be from the first of the believers that believed at that time. And Musa, after the threat from the quote unquote most powerful man at that time, perceived to be Fir'aun. But wallahi, the most powerful man was Musa alayhi salam, because of his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we see here is the response of the magicians that turned Muslim from their prostration and seeing the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, not relying on only what we see, the iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what brought them to this total trust in Allah that they said, لا ضير, there is no harm upon us by what you are mentioning, because you only have control of our bodies for a lahza wahida, but the one that has control of our souls, this is the one that we rely on. And that reliance, subhanAllah, we see with other prophets, mashallah, sister, when it comes to Prophet Sulaiman, perhaps you will
So, mashallah, yes, we see the different messages coming from the different prophets. And subhanAllah, as we said, we are on the 19th juz. So we're about to start, inshallah, the last 10 days of Ramadan, almost reaching that final line, bi'idhnillah. And there's so many valuable lessons in this juz that hopefully, Ya Rab, if we really do some tadabbur and contemplate, we can really be inspired to pull through and attain the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the maghfirah and the aitq from the hellfire, bi'idhnillah. And I want to focus on Surah An-Naml and the story of, Sayyidina Dawood and Sayyidina Sulaiman. And I'm just going to jump directly to verse 15. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the unbelievable wealth and abilities and knowledge and power that he bestowed upon Sayyidina Sulaiman and Sayyidina Dawood, and how they were grateful, they were in a state of gratitude towards this power, and they had the understanding that this was given to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this is a profound reminder for every man in power, every woman in power, everyone who has the ability to, have the word, the power of the word, the power of the decision, to utilize this position in bringing victory to the haqq, to the truth, in the same fashion Sayyidina Sulaiman did, and to never let their own nafs come in between them and between what the truth is, subhanAllah. And so it's a very powerful reminder here, and to remember that the position that they're in is something that was bestowed upon them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it could be very easily taken away. And then we jump to verses 17 and 19 when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحُشِرَ لِسُلَيْمَانَ جُنُودُهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ فَهُمْ يُوزَعُونَ. Solomon's forces of jinn and humans and birds were perfectly organized, rallied up for him, until they came upon the valley of ants. And an ant warned the other ants, and it told them what? Run into your home so that Sulaiman and his armies do not crush you unknowingly. And then we see after that in verse 19, فَتَبَسَّمَ ضَاحِقًا مِنْ قَوْلِهَا, right? وَقَالَ رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ إِلَى the end of the ayah. Sayyidina Sulaiman's response was that he smiled, you know, at the, you know, in astonishment at the ant's response. And I want to stop here and unpack a lot of things in these three ayahs in a very short 5 minutes, inshallah. The first thing here, I want you to kind of picture with me. If you're standing in front of the most powerful army, right, coming towards you, and I'm not going to just say an army of human beings, but jinn. We hear one jinn story and we're like, A'udhu billah, bismillah, we're mortified. This is an entire army of jinn, humans and birds. As a human being, I'm not going to tell you as an ant, the first response is what? You flee. It's nafsi, nafsi. The ethical egoism kicks in right away. You don't even think about it. Let alone a little ant that, you know, we see on the kitchen counter and we go like this and it's rahmatullah alayha, it's gone, right? So imagine the response of this ant. The ant, despite knowing that it's facing the most powerful army, it turns around and it starts to act in a way that is very responsible, in a manner that is more dignified than many of us would carry their way, you know, themselves in, right? It feels responsible toward its tribe, toward its community, towards its ummah. And it warns them. It does her part. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I think to myself, is it the sincerity of the ant? Is it the yaqeen, the certainty, you know? Or is it the tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah allows the voice of this ant to be carried? As some of the scholars say that the ant's voice was carried across the entire valley, and every ant, even those who were, you know, far out of, you know, hearing, you know, range, to hear the ant. Not just that, but Sayyidina Sulaiman to be able to hear what the ant said, subhanAllah. And I think to myself, it's not just the sense of responsibility towards your ummah, but also the sense of striving. And this brings us back to what is happening in Gaza. In the past couple of days, couple of months, subhanAllah, the feeling of desperation might be kind of seeping into our hearts. The feeling of what is the point of doing what we're doing when it's not doing anything. There's no outcome. There's nothing that we're seeing that is tangible, that is actually bringing an end to this genocide. But we are reminded by this end that no matter what the outcome might be, you still have to strive. You still have to speak up. You don't know how your voice will be carried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who it's going to go to, and what kind of impact it might have. So a very profound reminder to continue striving, to continue acting as a part of this ummah and feeling responsible towards one another, inshallah.
Beautiful reflections, mashallah, from both of you. SubhanAllah, I was thinking, it's really interesting. He talks about Fir'aun and the magicians. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because a tyrant always tries every tactic of manipulation, yes, right? So he tried to manipulate his magicians. He tried to manipulate his people. Mm-hmm. He tried to manipulate Musa alayhi salam, even using emotional manipulation, mm-hmm, right? He tried to guilt him at another point in saying, you know, I know what you did, right? Mm-hmm. I know the sin that you committed, that crime that you committed. And you're kind of seeing that Fir'aun's lure is coming apart. Right. It's all falling apart. Yeah. Every type of manipulation he's using, every type of boasting, every type of power he's trying to bestow upon himself is all coming apart before his very two eyes, to the point that even Asiya leaves him, right? And becomes a perfect mu'mina, a perfect believing woman. So it all falls apart for him. And then he ends up in this complete desperation. So before the waves of darkness overcome him and he drowns, he loses it all. All of the things that he thought that he owned are gone from him. Then you see Sulaiman alayhi salam, and a man who doesn't try to remind others of the ni'mah that he did for them. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya. Sulaiman alayhi salam saying, oh my Lord, let me have the capacity to properly thank you. I want to be able to thank you, like expand my chest, allow me to properly say alhamdulillah for what you've given me. And how Allah blesses Sulaiman alayhi salam. And there is more barakah in everything that he has, to the point that while you could see the rose and you could see the kingdom, it's very hard to see an ant when you see the palace of Sulaiman alayhi salam, right? But all of these are working in perfect harmony, yeah, for Sulaiman alayhi salam, because he's grateful, because, yes, of his shukr. So it's an amazing, like the opposite of a righteous king and a wicked tyrant,
yes,
you know, with all the supports that they have.
No, subhanAllah, you look at the Sanad and the chain of narration, I mean, it goes back to Shaitan and Adam, you know.
Yeah.
Shaitan had takabbur. He was arrogant and didn't want to prostrate to Adam. But then Adam, when he committed a sin, قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. They both said, we oppressed ourselves. وَإِلَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And if you do not forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will be from the losers, understanding that it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that humility that Sulaiman had and the arrogance that Fir'aun had. So going back to really looking at those two character traits and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes us humble. And through those trials, when we see what takes place, like the magicians, it made them humble to where they prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's subhanAllah, some beautiful points too, when looking at that and looking at what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Gaza, and how that those trials and tribulations is even a sign for us to always come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stand in the middle of the night and to pray and to make sajda and just remember those moments and know that everything is possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we see with the ants, I mean, an ant.
Yes, subhanAllah.
You said an ant compared to a palace. You look at the palace, but you don't realize it's the ant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using to send a message.
SubhanAllah, yes. We never know really who Allah is going to use and how He's going to use you. And SubhanAllah, when you're saying about how, you know, the magicians, when, you know, the tribulations just made them become, you know, stronger in their faith, I think every image that's coming out of Gaza, right? SubhanAllah, the more they're tested, the more alhamdulillah, as you're seeing, the amount of strength and faith and how they're so grounded and rooted into the faith is such, yani, SubhanAllah, it's like something that gives us tathbeet. It gives us firmness and makes us really understand, like, you know, we are not there. We are here. And, you know, as you said, it's that tiny voice. Yes, our voices here might be like in the middle of an ocean amidst all the propaganda and all the oppression and the injustice. But we have to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the embodiment of justice. Huwa al-adl. And nothing is gone, you know, that's going to just go passing by without Him subhanahu wa ta'ala taking care of it. And, you know, everything's noted. Everything, nothing, it's not haba' and manthura. You know, what we're doing here and what they're going through is not haba' and manthur, subhanAllah.
No. And I like how you, because, you know, in the verse you mentioned how Musa responded to Fir'aun, you know, Fir'aun, as you said, he used all types of media because media is a medium for a message.
Yes.
So Fir'aun tried all of these ways. He gathered the magicians and the people, and subhanAllah, Musa, with his knowledge, subhanAllah, and wittiness, to be honest, you know, he responded in this way, as you mentioned in the verse, an abetta bini Asra'il. This is the ni'mah you're talking about. Now you compared it with the politicians of today. You have to read between the lines and how you responded to Piers Morgan using the media to get that message across. And who knows how it's going to empower that girl in elementary school. And she's the only Muslim girl in her class, you know, and she doesn't know what it means. But now she's seeing a sister, mashallah, that's representing on her phone or on the television. And it brings her some level of iman even, you know, of strength. So that's very important that we use these mediums to get the message across in a way that is showing grace and honor to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam and justice.
Absolutely.
There's a question that I would come back to for both of you, inshallah, time. Maybe just in closing, you can give your thoughts. So this year, you know, in my Ramadan series, I'm talking about Qadr, decree and divine decree. And that's kind of what I'm trying to focus on, right, with the different ayat is the decree. And a lot of people look back in history and they say, I would never become Fir'aun. I would always be Sulaiman. I would be the grateful, you know, powerful person. I would never become the tyrant. But you can also see like how Fir'aun becomes a total narcissist. He always sees what he does for everyone else, even to the Sahara. I mean, like they're working for him in batil. They're working for him in falsehood. There's magicians. They're, you know, before they become believers, right? But even them, like I'll make you from the close ones to me. I'm always the one doing for you, right? That's a Fir'aun. Like, I did this for you, Musa. I did this for you, magicians. I did this for you, my people. I did this for you. And what does the Prophet ﷺ tell us? Whoever does not thank the people does not thank Allah. It's clear that the man has no self-awareness of the things that people have done for him and no words of gratitude for anyone, right? So Asiya, how dare you betray me? I'm going to take you out and torture you and humiliate you. Because I put you in this palace, right? It's kind of, that's that mindset, right? And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla is protecting us from ni'mah that we might get drunk with.
Yes.
We might get drunk with that blessing. Like Allah gives you a qadr, a decree of a blessing that fits your personality. And you might think, I didn't need to go through this. I mean, Allah is raising your maqam or opening your, he's raising your rank, opening your eyes. So what do you say to someone who's like, you know, why did Allah give so much power to this man, Fir'aun? If Allah would have given me, I would never be like the Fir'aun of that time or the Fir'auns of today, because there are pharaohs in every generation, right? There was the Fir'aun of this ummah's Abu Jahl. I would never be like that Fir'aun, and I would never be like the Fir'auns of today. What do you say to someone who's like, you know, I would never act this way with power?
So subhanAllah, I think I would just come back to the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Oh Allah, you know, the turner of hearts, keep my heart, you know, firm or steadfast on this deen. As you said, Imam Umar, you don't know when someone is given something. You really don't know yourself until you are put in that position. You don't know if this ni'mah is a ni'mah or a niqmah. You don't know if it's a test or it's a blessing, right? We always say, Ya Rab, whatever it is that you're giving, you know, to us, make it a form of getting close to you and make it a blessing, not a test. Because tests, subhanAllah, you don't know how your heart is going to change. Yes, perhaps I say, well, you know what? I'm going to be really good if I have all this money or this or that. And so many times, subhanAllah, we are put in certain situations in life where you really want something. And it could be something appearingly very good, perhaps going to Hajj or this or that. And Allah doesn't make it work out for you. And then later on, Allah reveals to you how there was so much good for you, how you became so much more prepared, how you were able to benefit and to not just yourself, but benefit others as well. And I've gone through this myself. And I'm sure if each and every single one of us really focuses and looks back at their daily life, you will see there were certain times that you were in need of something. You thought it was good for you. But later on, you realize if you were given that something specifically at that time, it would have, you know, pulled you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
No, and that reminds me, subhanAllah, you mentioned the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did he say that? In sujood, you know, in prostration. And the companion asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I asked to be your marafiq in Jannah. You know, to be with you. And what did he tell them? He said, A'inni ala nafsika bi kathrati sujood. You know, help me upon you to help you by prostrating a lot. So the actions of worship, at times it's going to be that which it keeps your heart firm. It's being consistent to the best of your ability and showing gratitude to Allah with the framework that He has given you, which is called the Sharia. And that's what's important in looking at this situation. I don't know when I face that situation, I hope that I will be of those people. And that rajah that you have in your heart, that hope and longing for and wanting to be of those kinds of people, Allah is not unaware of that. So when that time comes, you'll be someone that is firm, inshallah ta'ala. Like we see our brothers and sisters, what's going on in Gaza and around the world, you don't know when that time is going to come.
Yes.
Right? But you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat. May Allah give us thabat in this life and in the next, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakumullah khair for the wonderful reflections. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give thabat, of course, to all of our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Palestine and around the world, as we know it's beyond Gaza, and specifically our brothers and sisters that have been oppressed for the last few months in Gaza and beyond. And may Allah Azza wa Jalla make us people who embody ni'mah and manifest it the way of Sulaiman alayhi salam, and not of those who reject and become arrogant like Fir'aun. And Jazakumullah khairan, Ustaz Yusuf, for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Exactly. And Shaykh Abdullah, as always, Jazakumullah khairan. So everyone else, tune in, inshallah ta'ala. Last 10 nights coming up, inshallah ta'ala, to all the programming that we have, the extra programming. Make sure that you donate, inshallah ta'ala. Sign up for the donation. Tune into the webathon. Continue to engage, and we'll see you all tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.